22 attorneys general in the United States have written a letter to Biden about this WHO pandemic treaty. We've had 49 of the 100 senators, all of the Republican senators, have written a letter to Biden. Now, what's going to happen? I think it's very important that these people have to stand up and do more than write letters. And there are some hints that maybe they will. You see, when you look at the state attorneys general, one of the reasons that Fauci and Trump and Biden were, well, I didn't order anybody to do anything. They paid to have it done. We'll talk about that, belabor that point. The fact that, you know, they want boys in the girls' bathroom. Well, then they say, well, we're going to pay you to let that happen. And if you don't let that happen, we're going to pull the money that we've gotten you addicted to over the years. We're going to pull that money away from you. And so Trump's emergency executive order that Friday the 13th was about releasing the money. Releasing the money to the states who had already put in the suggested laws and the public health rules that had been suggested to them going back to 9/11. You know, the dark winter simulation germ game 2 months before 9/11, the anthrax attack 1 week after 9/11, and then 2 months after that, the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, if I got the order right. That's what they had states enact legislation so that they would do this, because there is no authority in the Constitution, because of the 10th Amendment, there is no authority for them to order people to do that. They're very afraid of that. You know, Jeff Sessions was very afraid of that. He wanted to get rid of marijuana, but he had all kinds of back channel tricks that he could pull. We'll do the civil asset forfeiture thing. How about that? I'll partner with the law enforcement people who steal property. I'll keep 20% and give you 80%. And you keep stealing stuff from people in the name of the war on drugs. But I can't go there and say, well, no, I'm going to, you legalize marijuana for medical or recreational use. I'm going to shut that down. If he had taken that to court, he would have lost big time. And it would have exposed the legal bluff of the drug war. And so they're afraid of that. So they're always have rules that are created by the bureaucracy. And then Congress and the president release this money through these bureaucracies. You know, whether it's the Department of Education, or whether it's Homeland Security or the Department of Justice, they use the money to get the states, to bribe the states, to blackmail the states, to do what they want. That's the plan. And so this pandemic treaty is going to have to be implemented at the local level. All politics are local, and so is all tyranny, folks. All tyranny is local. And all this federal tyranny is bribery and blackmail of local politicians. That's what it is. And so it's a good thing that you got 22 attorneys general in the U.S. have told Biden that they will not be making this WHO pandemic treaty or these new rules that will not be enforced in their area. And they reminded Biden that this is not a power. He can't give this power to the World Health Organization that they claim they want to have, you know, that they want to have through the treaty and the new rules. He can't give that to them because it's not his power to give. That power is not being given to them. And that's what we saw with the Model Health Emergency Powers Act. We saw that the federal government didn't have that power directly. So what they did was they got the states to put the rules in. And then when it came time, they had Trump bribe them. And then Biden bribed them and blackmailed them. And so it's going to have to run through the states. If you got 22 states that say no, well, that's a good thing. And so look at this, and then on the other hand, we've got the 49 senators. They are telling Biden they don't like this, and they're asking him to submit it for a vote as a treaty, which, as I said, I'm concerned about. Because the Senate doesn't need to ask Biden to give this to them. Under the Constitution, it is not a treaty. It is of no effect unless you have 2/3 of the Senate or whatever of a vote to make it happen. And since they got 49 people who say they don't want it, that's not going to happen. Not with this one. Not with this Senate. So going back to the letter from the AGs or the attorneys, state attorneys general, we therefore oppose such accords for several important reasons. First, the two proposed instruments, that's the treaty and the IRH changes, the International Health Regulation changes, these two proposed instruments would transform the WHO from an advisory charitable organization into the world governor of public health. Absolutely right. And I got to say, kudos to James Roguski again. He was the guy who started all this stuff. He really was. He did a lot of detailed research on it. And he reached out to me and said, nobody wants to talk about this. And I said, well, I want to talk about it. And now he's been on a lot of different places, a lot of big platforms he's been on. And he has followed this in amazing detail. And so I give James Roguski the credit for what is happening with this stuff. Number two, the federal government cannot delegate public health decisions to an international body. The U.S. Constitution doesn't vest responsibility for public health policy with the federal government. See, that's why you had the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act. And so, you don't have that power. You can't give it away. We oppose this because the WHO is trying to move from an advisory capacity to a world government organization. Third, the proposed IHR amendments and the pandemic treaty would lay the groundwork for a global surveillance infrastructure. Now, what are they going to do about it? They said, this is the last sentence, we will resist any attempt to enable the WHO to directly or indirectly set public policy for our citizens. Well, good, good. So maybe they will do something about it. Now, on the Senate side, are these senators going to do anything about it? Before we get to that, the UK has said they are not going to sign this treaty. That blows a big hole in the WHO's plans right there. This global vaccine treaty being drafted by the World Health Organization, it will be rejected by Britain amid concerns that it would have to give away a fifth of its jabs while ceding sovereignty to the unelected UN subsidiary. So their issue is not just the sovereignty issue, but they don't want to be compelled to send vaccines and things like that. And that's part of it, because these people like Tedros are nothing but Marxists. They've always got a redistribution plan. And part of this is to say that richer countries would be asked to help to cope with pandemics, including giving over 20% of their tests, their treatments, their vaccines to the WHO so it can distribute this to the poorer countries at its discretion and probably at its profit. You give it to the World Health Organization, then they sell it to these other people. We will only support the adoption of the accord and accept it on behalf of the UK if it is firmly in the UK national interest and respects national sovereignty. And so this idea of wealth redistribution or health redistribution, they're not going for it. At least this particular government, which is, in a sense, this conservative government has lost its credibility in so many different ways. It's kind of circling the drain there. So we'll see what happens with the next one. In 2022, over 100,000 people in Britain signed a petition demanding a referendum on this so-called pandemic treaty. That's now gone up to 150,000. So there's a lot of resistance there. The government has announced they're not going to sign it. We've had 22 state attorneys general say they're going to resist it if it's brought in, and they understand what the problem is. We've got 28 who don't, but we've got 22 who do. And then there's this that a lot of people are bringing up. Under the existing rules, and of course, James Roguski was the first one to talk about this as well. He said under the existing rules, now they're trying to change the rules so they can do this kind of stuff on the fly as quickly as possible without any notification to anybody. But under the current rules, they can't do that, and they haven't changed those rules. And so they have to have the document out there for countries to move on and agree to this or to not agree to it. That document has to be put out there 4 months before they hold a vote on it with all the different countries. And that hasn't been done. As a matter of fact, they're talking about this vote happening in just the next couple of weeks, and nobody's got the final document yet. There's been a lot of stuff that has been released, but nothing that's final. It is a rush without a reason, said the Daily Skeptic out of the UK. And why is that? Well, because I had a listener send this to me. Look at this. If pigs get bird flu, if pigs could flu, we could be in for a real nightmare. This constant fear campaign that's out there. The bird flu outbreak among dairy cows. No, none of them are sick. None of them are sick. You use this PCR procedure to identify fragments of this. You won't tell anybody how much you magnified it, how many cycles you ran this thing through. You have used it, says it continues to generate alarm. No, you're continuing to generate the alarm. That's the press. That's what they're doing out there. The planned vote does not respect the current rules that are there. So let's get to what the Senate has to say about all of this stuff. When we look at what they're saying, there is some hope that they may push back on all this, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what they do. The thing I want to say before we take a break and before we get Guard Goldsmith is going to join us, is that we are having a convergence of MacGuffins here. They want to pull climate change together with the pandemic. This is something, why would that be surprising? I call them a MacGuffin because it doesn't matter what the thing is that we're chasing, what it is we're scared to death of, what it is that they're sounding the alarm about. The solution is always the same. It doesn't matter if it's global cooling and we're going to have a new ice age, or then they flipped it and they said it's going to be global warming and everything's going to melt down. Same thing had to be done. And then when you come to a worldwide pandemic, according to them, and it wasn't even an epidemic anywhere. When you have a pandemic, guess what? The same rules that you would have if we're going to go into an ice age or if we're going to have a global warming and a planet's going to burn. All three of those were the same thing. So it's not surprising that they would combine these. Since the war on climate change and the war on pandemics represents two of the greatest sources of wealth and power for the global elite, a lot of work has been put into conditioning the public to be terrified of the existential risk each allegedly poses. This is from Technocracy News. The pandemic treaty seeks to link both of these together. See? We're going to have one MacGuffin to rule us all. To paraphrase Tolkien, right? One MacGuffin to rule us all. So the pandemic treaty wants to pull these together, arguing that climate change is the root cause of pandemics. Yeah, it causes everything, doesn't it? The problem thus necessitates giving the globalist control over how we interact with the environment. In other words, they argue that habitat loss brings humans in contact with deadly diseases. And they've been talking about this for quite some time. One Health began in 2004. The idea was put forward that public health needed to be expanded into an umbrella that could control every aspect of our lives and profit off of it as well. For example, climate change was folded into public health under the rationale that dire environmental threats that we face necessitate making ecological health a core facet of public health. You see this with them coming in and saying, we need to get the doctors to tell people that we got to have gun control because it's a matter of public health, right? They're going to try to bring everything together under public health because they always steal our liberty with a promise of safety. And of course, that's what they promise with public health.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. people have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.